Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, we are back, we are back. Welcome to, finally, after mishaps last night, after all the craziness that happened last night on a Monday night, we are back to another live edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself. God damn, I'm so good. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, you know who he is already.
Oh, good Lord. Back for season four. Sean Black in the building once again. Hard to believe we've been on the show as long as we've been doing it. But, yes, we are here on a very somber day in the country of September 11th. So,
Okay, whatever. If it's not about me, you know me, I don't care. But
brother,
I'm happy to announce that she will be with us from time to time when she can. But she is now part of the Absolute Truth team. I'd like to welcome you. What's her name again? Sugar. Tisha, to the program.
Dang, you forgot about me already? Gosh, hi, y'all.
you see the craziness that we have to go through. But congratulations on being part of the Absolute Truth crew. And,
Thank you, Sean.
Yes. So, yeah. Unlike the Hot Rod, who actually will want to just give credit to himself, I'll actually spread the credit around. So, you're going to be a great addition to the show, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I found her. I created her. I pop her up.
You didn't create me, but okay.
This I have to see. You know, I'd pay to see that one.
Of course. I put her on the map. So she's welcome, and you're welcome as well. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number 2. Oh, shit. Oh, sugar. I'm going to say 212.
You know what it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're about to give away the wrong number, my friend.
Oh, yeah, I know. 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. All right, guys. There's a lot to talk about, so let's start pissing some people off.
Ooh. Yes.
Okay. Over the weekend, seemed like everybody was fighting. You had Cardi B going at it with Nicki Minaj. You got Mary J. Blige going at it with Faith Evans. You got the Hot Rod going with Sean Black, but that's every day.
Yeah, just
about. But the fight that, or the dispute that everyone's talking about is Serena Williams versus the umpire at the U.S. Open Saturday night. Now, let's get right to it. We all know the results. You all know what happened. Now, start with Tisha, since you're a lady and you follow sports sometimes.
Yeah,
and
you follow
tennis. What was that? Oh, excuse me. But you know more about the Me Too movement and all this other stuff. Do you feel that any sexism was involved from the umpire that in this match?
Actually, yes, I actually do, because I've seen, who was it, Mackerel, back in the day, also go at it with the umpire, break the racket, and everything like that. I also feel like, I don't know, as women we're supposed to be held accountable for being classy 24/7. So if we come out of character, it seems like it's always a problem whenever we do come out of character. And then it gets classified as, oh, we weren't acting ladylike and so forth. But as you can see, she's just passionate about what she does. And she was upset. But I didn't like the fact that, you know, she was still talking to the umpire. It's one thing when you want to address it one time, but you kept going at it and going at it. So I guess maybe the frustration just got built up. But we get held accountable for being, we need to be ladylike at all times. And if we act out of character, it becomes a big deal. And I don't like that, because at the end of the day, we're human.
Well, for the record, I have met Tisha out of character many times years ago. It's not a pretty sight. That's a fair warning, everyone.
No, it's not a pretty sight, but okay.
But, okay. Well, before I counterattack, I'm sure Sean Block has a lot to say. Do you think we know? I know the umpire calls Serena Williams the match. I believe so. But you see there's any sexism in it from a male point of view.
I'll look at it in this sense. We know how these instances happen over the, in comparison in different sports. So we've been talking about this a lot. I think if you're going to look at it from just on the surface of the three code violations that happened, the umpire Carlos Ramos has had these kinds of instances before with men as well as women. Going back to 2016, he did it with Andy Murray in the Olympics. He did it. There were code violations with Novak Djokovic at the French Open last year, and he gave a time violation to Rafael Nadal. Did the same thing in Wimbledon with Djokovic, who got a code violation for screaming and hollering at the umpire. So to say that it was sexist, maybe not from the sense that a lot of people think of, but there is the sexist ideology behind it in this sense. As Tisha just said, there's this mentality that when women are, when they are in an equal platform as men, when they lash out, when they do something when it comes to anger, that kind of thing, they have to be looked at as ladylike and demure, and they have to come at you in a particular way, whereas men are looked at as coming at you, oh, look at this passion. Look at how strong he is. Look at how much he really loves what he does. And then you don't see a lot of times that kind of actual discretion coming from umpires in that kind of situation. Now, what I think would really tick people off about this whole situation was the fact that Serena was docked the full game, which we have never seen in any prior situation where somebody's been penalized. We've seen them lose a point. We see them get reprimanded. But we've also seen people get kicked out of games. But it does happen. To be sexist is a strong accusation to make without having the actual proof. But as I said before, there's always that tone when we talk about these kinds of things in comparison.
And I think you hit it right there on the nail, Sean Black. I'm like, do I think sexism is positive? Yes. No on the ruling, but like yes on the punishment. You know, it was like Tisha said, you know, other guys have done this, and you went down the list on what other men did. But the calls that he did, of course, it was a turnover for the game itself. I'm sure Serena would have had lost anyway, but we will never know.
Oh,
it could be a chance of a comeback. I'm like, you know, I have a feeling Naomi would have won it anyway. But once again, we will never know. But you did. You gave the point to Naomi, and you gave a game away to Naomi. So those are two major factors that cost the match. Now, do you do that because she's a woman? That's the question I'd like to know.
I think when you're seeing how the umpire went about this, you can look at it and say, well, maybe because that was the case. If you're going to go ahead and you're going to look at the actual match, because I watched the entire match because I actually watched tennis, Naomi Osaka was basically destroying Serena Williams. So there was no way, as great as Serena was and is, there was no way she was going to come back. But she was robbed of the opportunity to do so. And also the fact that the tone of everything that happened ruined the entirety of the situation, because nobody is going to look at this championship as Naomi Osaka's first Grand Slam championship and the celebration that should have come about it, being of having a Haitian father and having a Japanese mother, and being able to celebrate that and talk about what she did. All this is going to be looked at is the quote-unquote tantrum that Serena had, and all of the other things involved, especially if you look at the commentary that happened in Australia with the artist that actually did a cartoon in a local newspaper making light of this, which was extremely racist.
Why do you say that was extremely racist if that was the same type of cartoon that was drawn back in the 80s and the 90s as an angry black person or whatever. Are we calling it racist now because of the way the tone is and everything? Think about that.
The reason why it was racist is because, first and foremost, Australia has a history of racist tones in certain instances, especially in their media, because of the Aborigines tribes, et cetera, that were treated there. But even more so, there have been a lot of instances with cartoons, especially even with Serena Williams. If you look at the picture, the actual cartoon was of Serena jumping up and down with a racket broken, and Naomi Osaka sitting in the back, who, as I just described, was half Haitian, half Japanese. But she was made to look like a thin white woman, pushed to the background. Yeah. And while Serena is jumping up and down, she was drawn with overly sexualized body parts, big lips, big rear, big chest, jumping up and down, almost like a
presentation. They had her looking like a big girl.
Exactly. And it was made to look almost as if it was the old Sambo drawings that you used to see from the late 1800s to early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption was with the umpire saying to Naomi Osaka, "Can't you just let her win?" Now, that whole depiction drew a lot of ire from around the internet, and that was part of it. So we addressed part of the sexism part that may or may not have been there, and we've talked about it in other instances, but there was also there a racial component that actually brings the sexism part in it, because you don't hear about these kinds of discussions when it comes to other women in these situations.
Okay, welcome, Kato. Kato, what do you like to say about this?
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's up,
Kato?
Hey, how you doing, T? How you doing, Sean and all? Well,
Kato, get to the talk, please.
Okay, I'm just going to get to the point.
You know,
hey,
already
man, listen,
started.
Look,
already
Sean
started.
Sean already took up half of the time already, man. Damn. All right.
So
now,
time for me to get serious.
time for me to get serious now, damn it. Now, the whole thing with the Serena Williams incident was this or that. When watching the match, Serena was upset at herself. She was getting frustrated. And I felt that the official was treating her unfairly. And like T was saying earlier about John McEnroe. Back in the day, John McEnroe was known as the spoiled brat of the tennis world. This was someone who you would hear more bleeps out of anybody. You would hear more bleeps of him going off on referees. But yet, Serena felt that she was accused of cheating, in which she defended herself, which she should have, saying, "I'm not a cheater. I did not cheat." You know, but the media itself, like that whole drawing, that was very unfair the way Serena was treated in that drawing. I'm like, are you serious? In 2018, that we see that kind of racist art of her breaking a rack and Naomi's made to look like a thin girl. And plus, people fail to realize is that I noticed that they've changed a lot about Naomi's background. Naomi is of Haitian and Japanese background. And I noticed that the media is trying to make her look like she's fully Japanese. And this is someone who's very proud of her Haitian heritage. You understand what I'm saying?
Make a correction there, Kato. A lot of people, I understand what you're saying, but a lot of people don't understand the full story about that. For what I heard about that story, that it was a father who chose his daughter to represent Japan because there's better marketing for Japan than Haiti. Haiti don't have much about tennis. He's throwing the Haiti culture away. But let's think about this for a second, people. If they put out Japanese, American, whatever, would that be more money, better marketing overall? Of course, she would never deny that she's half Asian,
No, she wouldn't.
Asian. But it was a father idea. The father don't even watch her matches. When she's playing, the father walk around, and it was his father that trained her.
He stays pretty low-key.
So it was a father idea. So I told people, do not be surprised if the mayor go by that, because that's what the father wants overall.
The father wants more marketing.
If that's what the father wants, that's marketing genius. Because let's be honest, Haiti don't have much right now. Will you make more money represent Japan or Haiti? Let's be honest about that.
How far would you make just much more money representing your daughter? I don't understand it. Either or,
yeah,
I get the marketing point.
Marketing,
why not?
Right.
Why not build a Haiti even more by representing
exactly.
it? I don't understand that.
This is what I have to say about the whole thing. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. You make more money with Japan. Bottom line, I'm like, yes, you go.
What?
You're right. You could build. You could try to build Haiti. But let's be honest. It's not. You want to make the money now? You go with a bigger fish. Not the smaller fish.
Go with the big fish and then still represent it after. I could get that.
I could understand, but at the same time, you do want to represent your Haitian pride, and that is something that is important, because you know what, you do want to give Haiti a push. See, There was a time that Haiti was well represented in sports, especially in terms of soccer. And of course, in the martial arts that Haiti has shown,
but not tennis, Kato, not tennis.
No, true.
Haiti care about tennis right now?
Haiti don't. Haitians. Well,
well
not
no,
Haitians.
No,
I know. Listen, I'm Haitian and I don't play tennis.
The question. So why should we focus tennis on Haiti? It's good to push it, but why should that be the major focus, Kato?
Okay.
I get your point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Why should
that
be the major focus? Because.
Thank you. It's all about marketing.
It is true about marketing because you know what? Yes, Japan does have a huge market. And Haiti does need a push, you know, in terms of the history of Haiti and plus the Haitian culture. It needs a push.
I get what Highlight is saying as far as that. Japan already
saying.
Has tennis on the market. Is Haitians really watching tennis? Are they really going to root for it like they root for soccer? You know what I mean?
The one thing that you're also missing is that there could be the opportunity to change that if the Haitian part of her heritage was actually promoted more so. The same way that when we hear about Tiger Woods and golf, you never heard about African-American children wanting to play golf until Tiger Woods became famous. Now, Tiger Woods is half Thai, half African-American, and he, for the most part, promotes himself as just being himself. He doesn't identify with either side. But there are lots of African-Americans that see Tiger that have gotten into golf because of
golf.
I'll guarantee you, if this was played up and marketed the right way, you might actually have more of a streamline. Because a lot of Haitian Americans that I'm starting to see now are actually getting more, like you said, with soccer, but also getting more into football. I'm seeing a lot of Haitian Americans getting into the
perfect example.
Football.
Sean,
perfect example.
Sean,
Jason Pierre-Paul. Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, Jason Pierre. But they're American-made, not pure Haitians. That's the difference.
No, they were born here.
Kato, let's be honest.
Right.
He was born there, come over here. I'm talking about directly down there. I'm not talking about Americanized at all. So I'm still understanding what Sean's saying, what you're saying. I'm talking about down there. They don't care about American football or tennis or golf. It's an island. They care about soccer.
You know what they care about now in Haiti? And I could be honest with the people, with the Haitian people that I do keep in contact with. And, you know, being that I'm around my Haitian brothers and sisters a lot, they do care about soccer, but they also care more about basketball as well.
You can play basketball in the streets. That's understandable.
Okay, so it's slow growing for sports over there. It's no different than any of the other islands. They have their own thing that they stick to, and that's what they watch
they
the
do.
Most and so forth. So maybe later on, you never know.
And
yeah,
to
because
bring
you know
back
what,
to,
when it
to,
comes
to all...
when it comes down to tennis, it could happen because you know what, this could be a start. You understand? This could be a major start because, especially when she displays her Haitian pride, and which I saw a lot of Haitian flags being waved at that match, and I'm like, wow, you know,
of course.
You bring it to Haiti, you know, who knows? It could grow. It you know everything. is a slow process. You understand? Everything is a slow process, especially.
I'll give you even a better example.
Right.
Where in Jamaica do you hear about anybody doing bobsled? In a tropical country like Jamaica, where would you hear about anybody wanting to get into a sport that is a winter sport away from the tropical area in Jamaica? When the Jamaican bobsled team decided to go ahead and go and try out for the Winter Olympics.
In the 88 Olympics,
And they actually were able to get popularity because of that particular promotion of what they were doing. Now, nobody is saying that that's going to be the case now in Haiti. But if with the right promotion, you could actually do that. And the thing is, what you're discounting is the fact that all it takes is the right person with the right marketing to drive up interest in a particular sport in a new market that could change over time. And that's something actually...
I know some Haitian people. I know some Haitians.
All right.
Go ahead.
Sean, you got to think about the Haitian father is not thinking like that right now. I guarantee he's thinking that he want to make his money for his daughter and get the hell out.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
That's what I'm putting your guys' head. It's not about understand what everybody's saying. It's what the fathers want. This is what I want. I want my money now. Goodbye.
And to bring it back to the subject, the original subject as far as the sexism part, the cartoon that was there did its best in its trying to make light of the situation, basically turned a sexist eye towards two females in the same deal. Because if you think about it, not only did we already talk about the racial slant that happened with Serena in the depiction, but also it made Naomi Osaka look like a whitewashed white girl with blonde hair and pushed her in the background of the comic, of the artist's rendition.
Yeah.
So you have one extreme of hypersexualized body parts and she's an angry beast woman, etc. And then on the other side you have Naomi Osaka, who's pushed to the background and almost whitewashed. So you have the sexist attitude on both sides.
Well now I need to go on to the next topic. Talk about sexism.
Bring it on, Hot Rod.
Hashtag Me Too movement, that everything that's going on. Ooh, Tisha, I'm picking on you tonight. I'm sure you know about the CBS CEO, Les Moves, whatever his name is, has resigned from sexual harassment and allegations. Now, Tisha, do you feel, with everything that's happened, depending on the investigation, that this man should get his $120 million severance pay?
You know something what bothers me with all of this? I'm seeing all these, and I'm sorry to say, but these other white folks that are up there. This Me Too movement is attacking them, but I haven't seen any of them go to court yet like Bill Cosby did. So what's the problem with all of these, like, 60 and 80-year-old women, now they want to come out and talk about, okay, they were with him and he touched me in dark places and all of this and that, and then he consents to three. But let's take it to court like we did Bill Cosby.
Well, you know what it is. I look at it like this. That's no white privilege over there.
Yes.
That's a guarantee. But the bottom line
that's
is,
a very strong
think,
example.
But do you think he deserved to get his money or part of his money?
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. He hasn't been taken to court and been convicted of anything, so why shouldn't he get his money? I want to see them go to court just like Bill Cosby did.
Why not?
Well, why is he so hard?
The difference in the fact that Les Moonves can actually get this $100 million, as they call in the business world, a golden parachute loan payment, that's basically a buyout to get out of his contract, to get rid of him and remove him out of his job. The difference in that scenario is that right now CBS has already stated that they're not paying him his money until they do their investigation to find out what's going on. Now, Ronan Farrow, who actually did the article in the New Yorker magazine, has done a pretty good job in lining up people that are caught up in this. He's the one that with the Harvey Weinstein story and the Matt Lauer story and all the other stars that you see getting caught up in this stuff. Seven more women had come out prior to this. And I think we talked about Les Moonves a few months back being accused, but nothing happened. This is what is happening now, where we're starting to see people in prominent business and people that have power seemingly feel that once they get power, the power goes right to their testicles. And for whatever reason, they seem to be able to take it and get and use it because they can. And the problem with that is that at some point, especially now in the climate that we have, if you have done anything like this in the past to use your power, and this is going back from what the report is saying 20, 30 years ago up to this point, the reckoning is continuing to happen. So now we know that a lot of things happen in with network television. When you see a CEO or somebody that's the head of a network, when something happens, when there's changeover, a lot of things in the network change. Shows get canceled, people get fired, things of that nature. So that's the next step. But how are they going to ensure something like this doesn't happen again with the next person that takes over? Or if that hasn't happened with somebody that's already with the network or other networks involved in general?
But, Sean, this is an ongoing thing that's been happening for many years. Nothing's going to change.
Well, we figure that, and that's what I think this movement is supposed to be trying to showcase.
Well, here's what it is.
Go ahead, Rod. Kato, you go first.
No, but you know what? This happens time and time again, you know, with big money, especially with those big execs. They've been doing this and getting away with it because, you know what? Let me tell you something else that's going on with that. Hush money. Everybody knows about that. I mean, everybody on this panel, I mean, you've heard about it, Hot Rod. You've heard about it, T. You've heard about it, Sean. Hush money, like, oh, you know what? Here's a couple of thousands. Here's a couple of millions to keep your mouth shut, so that way we could just sweep this under the rug and sweep it under the rug as if it doesn't exist. But now everything is with this movement. Everything's coming into the light, and they're being exposed.
Yeah, but this is a movement that's been going on, and, you know. CBS donated $20 million to the Me Too movement, you know, as you said, hush money, like, to make this look good. And like Sean said, ladies and gentlemen, basically, he didn't resign on his own. He got buyout. Like, here's the money and leave. So guess what? Trust me, he will get his share of the money. He won.
Of course he will.
Just like every other CEO, the other high people in high power, he won. He's got money to leave.
He was making $68 million a year as his regular salary. So not only all of the years that he'd worked at the network, but on top of that to potentially get another $100 million on top of everything, that's insanity. But this is the way the business world works. In a lot of instances, we hear about that white privilege, as you said, because I have never heard of any African-American in the same situation go through something similar and get a balloon payment without going to jail or going to a trial or getting arrested, et cetera, et cetera.
But Sean, you know what it is? When it comes to a black CEO, everybody, let me tell you something. Let's just say if it was a black CEO, that person would be have the rug pulled out from right from under them. They would be forced out. You understand? They would be fired as a CEO. They would be fired. They would be done with. Their careers would be over with, and there would be a trial, and it would be highly publicized all over the place. It would make front page news every day. You've seen it with Bill Cosby. Come on now.
Well, I guess, unfortunately, this is one of those things. And, Tisha, you know, even though I joke around a lot, I don't praise, you know, sexual harassment and all that stuff. I keep saying that these things is not new. It will keep happening. Do we want it to happen? No. Well, unfortunately, this is part of life. This is part of the rape culture that we talked about months ago, or maybe last year. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, a couple of months ago.
I don't know. I'm just curious to know, do guys get fondled in the workplace? Because we haven't heard too much of that, but, you know.
You know,
I am pretty sure they do.
And I think they probably like it, maybe. I don't know. I'm
yeah,
not,
they keep
I'm
their
just,
mouth
I'm
shut.
Just, Yeah, they keep their mouth shut. I don't know. It happens too. It's not even funny.
You have to remember, if it wasn't up until Terry Crews opened up his mouth about what happened to him, that you even hearing men having that conversation, having it entertained.
He got touched by a guy, Sean. He got touched by a guy. It was a woman that could make the story.
No, both. Guy or a woman is what I'm saying. Either or, especially by women.
No, Terry Crews got touched by a guy.
Right,
yeah,
but what's the difference? He still got sexually assaulted.
But I'm talking about the men that got touched by a woman. Most likely, they
Well, they're gonna keep their mouths shut. Yeah, I mean, you know what
it is.
Right. Some guys are gonna be like this. Oh well, I might as well keep my mouth shut because no one's gonna believe that a woman could be sexually harassing me.
And,
or maybe they don't want to look like punks because I'm sure there's some women that's up there that probably did the same thing. I don't know.
Just like that movie that I told you about before called Disclosure that had Michael Douglas in it, where he was a male that was in a prominent business, and his boss was trying to sleep with him, and he said no, and she ended up making his life a living hell. Now, do these kinds of things happen? I'm pretty sure they do. We just don't hear about it, and the reason why is because the flip side of this being a male-dominated society. If you're in the male, and if you're in the situation, and you're a male, you're going to be looked at in the eyes of many other males as weak.
Mm-hmm.
How could you let this woman do such and such? If this woman does so and so, you might as well go all the way. Oh, she's weak. And those are the kinds of ideals
that happen in this
society right now.
And you know what? It's like this. If you go ahead and tell, they're going to be like this. Man, what's wrong with you, man? Take it, man. Come on now.
It doesn't make it right. It's the male ego. You guys suck.
Whoa,
my goodness.
Wow.
Hey, she done laid a smackdown now. Watch out now.
And our producer does text me now that he got fonded by the Hot Rod all the time, which I don't understand what that means.
Whoa.
But,
they didn't give you a buyout
Hot
for this show?
Big man,
I'm
you.
I own this show.
You got me.
Right,
but all right, let me go on to the next topic. Okay.
Go on now.
Believe it
go
or
on
something.
Before you don't have a producer.
I know, right? before you try to sue me, Jesus. But believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. You guys know where that came from, the latest Nike ad campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Keisha told me about it right away, and she told me she have a lot to say about the Colin Kaepernick. So, Keisha, the floor is yours. What was your mind when you saw that ad?
When I first saw the ad, I was just scrolling down, you know, the Instagram. So I seen T.I. posted it, actually. And his reaction was, like, he's going to go out right now and buy a pair of Nike. I was a little disgusted because this is the whole point why Nike put it out, for the marketing scheme. That's the first thing I saw. It's your 30th anniversary, I think it was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So where were you at the height of, you know, with everything with what Kaepernick was standing for? Where were you when Donald Trump and Pence came to the game and shut that whole knee stuff down? Where were you then? Why didn't you do a campaign with just Kaepernick then, you know, to keep the flow going with him? That's how I felt. Instead, you wait for your 30th anniversary Nike anniversary to boost your sales, have your stocks go up. Then you have the white supremacists, I guess, or whatever, and Trump supporters burning Nike shoes. I'm sorry, guys, you already bought it, so it's already calculated in the inventory, so why are you burning your own shoes? But okay, and, you know, taking off the top of your socks and stuff like that. I mean, it's like, I just didn't understand it. I understood the point why they wanted a positive black man, which I like that, you know, what he stood for, but you were not there for the actual cause. You should have been there for him the same way when Trump and came there and told the NFL, you can't take a knee and this, that, and other. I didn't see anything disrespectful till this day with taking a knee and taking a stance and what the cause was for. They were not disrespecting the flag or the national anthem by any means by taking a knee. It was no different than when you kneel and you pray. So, I don't know. I think they just used him as a target right now. It's a target market.
Okay, before I give it to Sean, I found it, once again, amazing how the start of a third year of talking about this topic, how this topic is still going on, how this one man that made something that I like to say a game changer of everything. For us, for people to still talk about this movement, well, for what he did, I was finding this thing amazing. But Sean, what do you have to say about this?
Well, you're right about that game changer comment, because it's amazing. This all happened in 2016, and we're now 2018, almost going towards 2019. And
right.
Colin Kaepernick has basically martyred his career for a cause. Now, Tisha, I'll give you credit on that point of what you're saying as far as where was Nike ahead of this. But the one thing that we can say about Nike as a business is that the majority of people that buy Nike gear, sneakers, apparel, et cetera, are minorities. And when the Kaepernick ad went up, although their stock went down, online sales went up 31%. Among African Americans, it went up by about 55 or 60%, I believe, the last I checked. So there was the dynamic of we're going to make sales. Second of all, we also know of the outside dynamic of what Hot Rod had alluded to, where you got the racist slant involved, all of those people that had issues. And Hot Rod showed me, I believe it was either last Wednesday or Thursday, there were places around this country that were showing letters and putting flyers on their businesses stating that anybody that wears Nike apparel will have to go home. There are people that were telling their workers, we will not supply any business to people that have Nike apparel. If you're wearing Nike apparel, you're going to either take them off or that's it. Places that used to get their supplies from Nike are saying, we're no longer going to support this. And the reason because of this is happening is because of the perceived slight against the anthem and what Colin Kaepernick, quote-unquote, represents. Even though we already know what the cause is about, we know what has happened to the cause, so it doesn't even make any sense to keep going into the reasoning behind it. But we know people behind that have the power, that own businesses, that make the real money, they don't want to be associated with Nike because of their perceived support of Colin Kaepernick. And in that sense, the majority of people that are rebelling against what the president has said and other people have said toward Kaepernick and why he did it, they're rebelling against it by buying more Nike apparel and buying more Nike stuff and going online and ordering things through Nike. And that's what this whole ideal is about. And for Nike, it was a calculated risk, but it worked.
My problem was the people that's burning the stuff. If you have a problem with something like Nike for whatever stupid reason, instead of burning it, and we love your armed forces and your veterans, instead of burning it, will you give them the veteran a homeless one of the shoes instead?
You know, I was just about to say that, because even though y'all don't want to give me a microphone, thank you, Hot Rod, for not putting me on. But anyway, what I got to say about this whole thing involving Kaepernick, it's like everyone's making Kaepernick out to be the villain. Like, why are you putting him on there? Why is he out there? Oh, this man is he's going against the country. He's not going against the United States. He's going against the injustices that black people continue to face. And this has become, like you said, Sean, it has become a movement, because even watching football earlier during this week, you saw players taking a knee. Players are still taking a knee. And you know, Nike, by doing this, it's the biggest marketing scheme ever. You know, and a lot of people, like you said, Hot Rod, why are you burning your stuff for? If you don't like Nike, then why the hell are you buying it and burning it? Give it away to a homeless person. You see,
or even better, donate the money that you would have spent on the apparel to your armed forces. If you feel
if you feel
that that's
veteran.
What the cause is about, take that
right.
money and donate it to the armed forces or to one of the funds that helps people through 9/11, something like that. The Wounded Warrior Fund, something along those lines.
Because there's so many people out there who are in need, and you're not donating. You're being completely, I could say, idiotic by posting it all over social media. Well, here I am burning some sneakers. Here I am ripping up the top of some socks. And I've seen some celebrities do it. I mean, as a matter of fact, there's a mayor in Louisiana who doesn't want any Nike apparel being sold.
Well, something like this. When I hear these stories, I'm like, this country is this country that stupid overall? It's like,
it is.
Can we get our priorities straight? And I'd like to
please.
Give teachers our credits. That, you know, we brought up a good point about the Nike.
Teacher, you've made a very good point. Very good point.
Thank you for kissing ass, K-Dog. But like I was saying.
Come on, man.
Thank you, K-Dog, for kissing ass. I'm sorry. I sound like it is. You kissing
well,
ass
you
right
welcome
K-Dog.
To this dude, Tisha. You just jumped. You just joined us in the absolute
truth. I know.
Now that you just joined us in the absolute truth. Man.
But I never thought about that way, what Tisha mentioned earlier to have. But what is Nike before? Like, not just Nike. What is everybody else before, prior to this movement? It's like, now you want Colin Kaepernick to represent you?
Nobody stood
overall.
By him. People are looking at him like, what is he doing? I'm like, are you serious? Now everybody wants to know? Get out of here.
And Hot Rod, there's another layer to the story, is the fact that now Colin Kaepernick has his own website where he's actually creating his own jersey to be sold through the website. And apparently the proceeds are going to go to the foundation that he's created that's supposed to help with educating people in inner city about police brutality and helping people in inner cities with those kinds of services so that they can, you know, maybe get lawyers and kind of bone up on the law.
Well, see, that would
that?
Be good that he does that, but let's hope that Nike can also put some of that money into that as well. I would like to see them put some of that
on.
Money into
Tisha.
It.
You
get my
like
point?
Ask,
if you, no,
like
they're
asking,
for him, right?
I'm sorry, Tisha, but you have to
yeah.
walk on water right now. Walking
I know, that's my point that
happen.
I'm making, though.
Yeah.
So let's see.
But it's just that it's funny how Colin Kaepernick, who has been martyred, as we say all the time, is doing so much to help out the community, and people don't see that part. But they see this
right.
picture on the billboard, they go haywire and start burning stuff.
Oh, they're going crazy.
We know that. And it's because of the fake ideology behind a lot of patriotism. And as I've said before, Oscar Wilde said it himself, that patriotism is a virtue of the vicious. In a lot of instances, people take their patriotism and use it as an excuse to be able to do things that are so unpatriotic, it'll make your head spin.
Yes, they do.
Talking about head spins, be ready to be hungry because this guy loves to talk about food. We got Brother B in the house, everyone. Brother B.
Yo, listen. You know what? I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna find the biggest veggie burger, and I'm gonna bring it to you. The biggest veggie burger possible with some grass fries, and I'm gonna bring it to you.
Oh man.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Hey, brother.
Thank you.
What's up, brother?
So I've been doing a little listening. I love it. Let them take the hoods off. Take the hoods off. Let's see who you really are. Thank you. Thank you for exposing yourself to us. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's nothing like a good game of chess. This ain't checkers. This is chess. But the whole thing is the people who seem to think that they're winning the game, they're actually making themselves look stupid and losing because they're not moving as strategic as they should. See, me personally, I would stay quiet. I would just say, all right, let him do what he's doing. Let him take a little knee, and it'll die down. I would agree with it. Just let it die down. But see, you have some people out there that are very angry, and a lot of these law enforcement officials or people in law enforcement who feel that, hey, just because we shot a couple of black people, that don't mean that we're bad. But what are you really saying when you're actually, just like the guy who just got shot, before that chick got arrested, the situation in Dallas, they put her out on paid administrative leave. They knew what it was.
To me, like what it sounds like to me is that story is it's a jilted boyfriend girlfriend. Because it doesn't make any sense. It sounds like that somebody was dating, something happened.
But they can't let that get out. Because if it does, then it changes the charge. The charge changes. If it was something personal, then the charge changes. Then it goes to murder.
Right.
They want to keep the story suppressed and keep it where it's at. That's why they keep letting her revise her story.
So now I'm going to ask you the question, Brother B, which is something that we brought up before.
Right.
Is this a situation where you would say that there is some sort of white privilege involved? Because we've talked about this in the past in other examples, and I know you've stated that you don't necessarily believe in white privilege. But would you say that this would fall under that particular umbrella, or are you still on the same idea that you had in the past?
I don't believe there's white privilege. I believe there's white arrogance. They came here. They damn near killed off. Like, listen, if you come in somebody's house and you smack them around, and how does that make you feel? Like, whoa, this is my house. Like, I just came in here, smacked you up, and took your house. So anything after that, you're just going to feel like, oh, this is mine. This is mine. I could do whatever I want to do. We're going to go get some people, steal them, kill them up, give them ultimatums, and make them work for me. Everything that they've done in domination, that's arrogance. That has nothing to do with privilege. That's just how they move. Those type of Caucasians or pilgrims, that's how they move. Simple and plain. They may look, their whole privilege, that game of privilege is nothing different from, yo, okay, I'm a supervisor at a job. I'm going to hook my man up. Would you call that black privilege, or you just call that, you know, that's just hookup for hookup? That's what they do for one another. Just like the BS with Serena Williams. I've seen so many black people condemning her on what she said, but they didn't look at the other side of it. They're not looking at the character aspect. They're not looking at the fact that it's a subtle jab at black athletes. They're not looking at that. They're just looking at one side, at crabs in a barrel. But see, white people, they don't do that to each other, because the same ones who talk about they hate Trump, they'll probably still vote for him, because some of them are afraid to lose their footing. And the whole thing is, black people ain't here to take over. We just here to do us. We ain't here to remove y'all off the map. We just here to do us. But there are people that are in positions that have a problem with the fact that we're just doing us, because they can't control us. So, no, I just believe it's just arrogance.
Tisha, do you agree with Brother B?
I don't agree with any of that, because I see white privilege on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, that's Brother B's opinion. I still believe there is white privilege. I was just stuck on somebody coming into my house and smacking me around, Brother B. I'm sorry. I was trying to picture that. No, I was seriously like, I don't think that I'm just pitching them getting smacked back, but all right, if you want to say it's white arrogance.
But look
whatever,
at it.
I'm right.
But look how they move across the map. They don't come, listen, they scout it out, and they come to the places that have natural resources or anything that they can use, they take over. If you have something that they want, they're going to take it over. Just like when the pilgrim first came here, they sent the scout, they checked it out. Oh, there's some couple of people over there, but if you bring enough, we can knock them out. All right, cool, no problem. And that's what they did, and they've been doing that ever since. That's not how they move.
I agree with you, Brother B, on a point where you said, we weren't here to take over and so forth and things like that. But other than that, I still believe there is white privilege.
Okay,
Kato.
Well, what I want to say is that, yes, there is white privilege, and this country was built on it, because if you look at the constant injustices that have been going on in this country, especially looking at the history, and I agree to some point, yes, you know, walking into someone's house and smacking them up, that is part of white privilege, because you know why? It's like this. I could do whatever I want in this country and get away with it, because let's just say, for example, you could arrest a black person and a white person for committing the same crime. Who do you think is going to get the more harsh treatment? Who's going to be treated harshly? between the two.
Why? But the question is, why are they going to be treated harshly? Because first of all, we weren't a part of their long term plan. Like, we weren't supposed to be out of chains. We were still supposed to be in servitude. That's the issue. Now, if you want to talk about the whole thing with privilege, I mean, real talk, they run off the basis of manifest destiny. That's what they run off of. Manifest destiny is the reason why they feel they can move how they move and do what they do, because they feel God put them here to do that.
And that's because, brother, they're privileged to do so. They have that.
That's not privilege. That's just their concept that they made up. That's just something that they made up as an excuse to say God told us that we can do this and this is what we're going to do.
I understand that, but at the same time, it is a white privilege. This is what it means by white privilege, because, like I said before, you look at the criminals. You look at the criminal system in this country. You look at so many other things that have happened in terms of police brutality, in terms of hate crimes, because we could go back in history and see what kind of hate crimes. Like recently they talked about Emmett Till. His killers got off. And, constantly there's been an injustice in this country. And unfortunately, and I'd have to say it's, yes, there is white privilege, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Time is running low. I have to give Sean a final thought on this before I go to the last topic.
I think if I can understand your thought process, Brother B, as far as just your definition of it. But I think the whole idea behind privilege is something along the lines of either something by birthright or something that is given to somebody that is fortunate enough. And when you look at all of the things that have happened in society where you're looking at racial instances, crimes, people getting off of crimes, police brutality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The people that get off a lot of times are privileged enough to be able to find a way away from it. Where there are some African Americans who have been privileged enough to be able to stave off certain things, usually that isn't the case. So I think that it's a much stronger example to see the other things that are happening from the other side of the coin, as opposed to like your example of smacking somebody up. You go into somebody's house, you smack them up. Okay, I'm going to smack you back. Which one of the two people is actually going to go to jail for smacking somebody up? And why?
True, but if you're coming in, depending on who you coming in, else you coming in with, you're not going to get a chance to smack in. You're not going to get a chance to smack back. See that once again? Like I said, I respect white. You guys believe in the white privilege. I just believe in the white arrogance. Because the whole thing is, I'm going to come in the house to smack you up, and I'm going to bring people with me to, if you touch me, they're going to smack you and do worse.
That's just
strategic.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. Well, I got sent out the last question to Tisha because she was upset with us, Brother B, K-Dog, Sean, and myself.
Don't get me involved.
Yeah, I wanted to smack all of y'all in a row on the last show that I heard, but okay.
You was in it.
Amen.
So, Tisha, the floor is yours. My question to you is, once again, you always ask, why does Ben cheat? My question to you is, why, when a woman does have a good man, yes, things happen, they break up, but when they have a bad man, why do women basically complain they can't find a good man? But when they do, they get rid of him.
So they get rid of the good man, right?
Yes. And
that's
what you
guys
go
are
after,
saying.
Yes. You always complain.
But why
that
we always get classified as, oh, you're so brokenhearted, and now you find a good man, so you're going to treat him like trash and probably go back to the bad boys or whatever you guys' scenario was on the last show. Brother B, can you break it down just a little bit?
Wow. Okay.
Put you on the spot, brother.
You know what I believe it is, in my opinion, that certain women, or certain people in general, but we're talking about women, certain women are being used to treat it a certain way. And sometimes they don't, when, like, I was in a relationship where she was like, I don't believe you. Like, you do too much nice things for me. Like, you're too nice. Like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Why? Because you were in a shitty relationship before? Like, listen, not everybody comes with the same approach. Not everybody's different. Like, you have to be open. Mm-hmm. And she told me, I'm scared. She said, because I'm scared to believe in you, and then you turn around and you be something that, you know, that I really thought you was, and I let down my wall. So she ran back to the BS because it was safer.
Because that's probably all that she knew, Brother B. So my thing is, women and men do have trust issues coming out of broken relationships and so forth. And you might go back to what was familiar to you. That's some people, to me, that's a little weak, but I don't want to offend any of our listeners. But it's something that you have to deal with. In saying that, I'm going to say in a sense that maybe, like how you just explained that to me, Brother B, maybe she didn't heal into loving herself enough to learn how to trust again. So I feel like sometimes you have women that want to go to rebound relationships, and then you have women, they're focused on really having fun and healing themselves before they even make anything serious.
Well,
so I don't think we should all get classified in the same bag. That's what y'all did the last time, but okay.
No.
I want to do this.
No, I remember me doing that. Maybe
no,
they don't.
No, not me, man. I ain't saying that.
I don't
I
think everybody
that.
Classified
hold
all people in that sense.
I know.
Tisha, I'm not like these guys. I'm not going to kiss your ass. Females cannot be satisfied. They not want to be satisfied. Yeah, I speak for every guy out there.
And you men
and
can't be satisfied. Fight
oh, yes, we can.
Oh, what?
No,
give me a six-pack.
Mm.
Give me a six-pack
yes.
and some snacks. Yo, listen, I'm happy like a pig and crap.
Until that six-pack turns into a four-pack, and then you're going back to looking for another six-pack.
I was talking about abs.
I was talking about body-wise. Sorry, you were talking about
Listen. Listen, that's the whole thing. I'm not picky on the spectrum. Whether from skinny to big, they all need love. So it is what it is. Time changes us all. So you got to roll with the rush.
Yeah.
Tisha, I could give you flowers. I could write you love notes. As always,
please
you
don't.
Feel sometimes. Well, I'm
going to
say,
mm-hmm.
No.
Wow. I guess you put you on blast. Please don't.
Wait. Oh, my goodness.
That's a high school BS. I'm going to say men can do whatever they can to please their woman, but they want more. They cannot be satisfied.
You know what you better know how to do? Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Cook, mm-hmm. clean, mm-hmm. and rub the feet.
Yeah.
That's at the minimum.
No.
You ain't rubbing no feet.
You better rub some feet, man. You gotta rub some feet. You gotta cook something, because even if it tastes bad, you gotta taste it several times before you feed her. And then on top of that,
you gotta rub some feet.
Well,
no, don't be a bad cook.
She's on
the run. That's bad.
Listen,
Kato
was the one that told us Sunday night that he smelled sex. Through the phone, okay? So I'm not listening to Kato tonight, okay?
Oh, my gosh. What's that about?
Brother B was talking about sex. First up, Hot Rod, get it straight. Brother B was talking about sex. And I just came out and acted very, you know, trying to make the show a little funny.
You stepped out of character.
I just said, you know, show us the man behind closed doors.
Very, very intense. Wow.
I understand.
Okay.
I have good senses, but I don't have senses that.
No, I just asked him.
Okay. Yeah, I know. If,
that's,
yeah.
Okay, on that note, everyone, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Thank you all. Brother B, K-Dog, The Sniffer. I'm calling you the sniffer.
Oh, my goodness.
Tisha.
Not the clap, the sniffer.
Not the clap, the sniffer. And kiss ass Sean Black guy. Thank you once again for the show.
I bet you Sean Black know how to cook and rub the feet.
Yes,
Sean Black know how to cook. I know you know how to cook.
That's right.
Yes.
See, the way he talk lets me know he know how to cook.
Exactly.
Yes,
I was about to say that. His voice.
You want Sean to rub your feet, Brother B? You want Sean to rub your feet, Brother B?
Right.
Come on, man.
So, yeah.
Have a good night, everyone.
Man.
God bless. Take care.
Good night.
As always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes, it was.
Fun. Peace and love always.